How do I look in pink? It's not my color. In Oklahoma, where I come from, we call this pank. Okay? The church calls it rose. Fortunately, we only wear it twice a year, midway through Advent and midway through Lent, so I'll just not look down, okay? From the first chapter till the last, the question, who are you, is raised again and again in John's Gospel. It starts with John the Baptist, as we heard today. It is very dramatically asked again of Jesus by Pilate. And finally, in the very last chapter of John's Gospel, there's that story that none of the disciples dared to ask that question about a man on the shore who told them where to fish and bring in a great catch. In that 21st and last chapter, it simply says, now none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Look at what happens to that from the beginning then of John's Gospel till the end. Now, while John's Gospel is focused on the identity of Jesus as the Word made flesh, it also initiates a quest for the identity of the disciples. Who are you? Is the question this living Word addresses to each one of us in this assembly. The disciples came to know the Lord by spending time with him, listening to his words, and watching what he did. And finally, in that 21st and last chapter, by doing what he asked, put the nets out there. You see, this is a formula unfolded for us in John's Gospel. And the following of that formula will eventually reveal who we are. Let's review it and get it right. Listening to his word, watching what he does, and doing what he asks. I find it interesting to notice that when we introduce ourselves to a stranger in a crowd, it's almost always without asking one's name, the next question anybody always asks is, what do you do? It's as though the name is not enough to establish our identity. And of course, it isn't enough. So we ask more because what someone does, their behavior, usually tells us more about them than what they're called. If I were to ask you the name of the apostles, most of you would stumble through maybe 8 or maybe 15 or 17 names, which isn't very important since the Gospels themselves do not agree on all the names. But if I asked you what an apostle does, we would start to get somewhere. So as we move through the last half of Advent, the church suggests that it's time to raise the question, who are you? More than that, however, it might well be time for us to provide an answer. John did so by calling attention to what he did, not for the sake of any praise or admiration, but for the sake of expressing his relationship to Christ. The challenge then for us in answering that question is to determine whether or not what we do expresses our relationship to Christ Jesus. What we do says just about everything about who we are, and it reveals who we serve and what really matters to us. Today, in the place of the psalm text, familiar verses of Luke's gospel were sung. There are words that Luke places on the lips of a young maiden in Nazareth who's just discovered who she is, favored by the Almighty, who does great things. The consequence of acknowledging and recognizing who she is great joy. A joy that's almost contagious for those who read and pray those words. In the world of our times, joy easily slips away from us, gets replaced by sadness and fear. So many people suffer so greatly at the hands of others. Neglect, denial, racism break apart the family that's been taught to call God Father. But at the root of all of this is the fact that we have failed to ask the question, who are you? We fail to acknowledge that every one of us is a child of God and a member of one family as brothers and sisters. I always imagine that our human experience of joy is really a reflection of divine joy or divine delight. So if there's too little joy these days, it may well mean that God's joy is less because of what we do and what we fail to do. As the church calls us to joy this day, it is not a call to be or act happy. It's a call to examine carefully how we live together and what we do, shaping who we are. In the end, we're God's children, and therefore one with each other. So when one of us is hurt, we all hurt, as so does God. When one of us is the victim of violence or injustice, we're all victims as well, just as Jesus Christ was a victim of violence and injustice. When one of us becomes aware of the fact that we're chosen, beloved, and gifted by God to give flesh to God's only Son, then we can all rejoice again, living with the hope and with confidence that God has come to the help of his servant and remembered his promise of mercy.